Tonight on Straight Talk, 1 year in and a shift in strategy.
Certainly they'll still be brought to the deflection center, but we're going to demand accountability.
Multnomah County District Attorney Nathan Vasquez moving to crack down on people who aren't engaging in drug treatment.
Two people a day for the millions of dollars we spent just can't. We can't continue with that.
We talked to the DA about how Portland's justice system is evolving from targeting organized theft rings to prosecuting violent crime and rethinking how the county handles drug use.
Holding individuals just like this accountable is one of my top priorities.
After taking office 1 year ago, Vasquez promised greater accountability while balancing public safety with fairness.
My concern is that victims and members of our community feel safe, that they feel like they can come and report crimes.
Tonight, how he says that's going, what's changed, and what's ahead in year two for the county's top prosecutor. Hello and welcome to Straight Talk. Thanks for joining us. I'm Stephanie Domerat. Now this week, Multnomah County District Attorney Nathan Vasquez announced a change in how his office prosecutes people caught with illegal drugs. The shift comes after a drug deflection program designed to steer people toward treatment instead of jail saw lower than expected participation. Vasquez says it's time for a different approach, one he believes restores accountability while still offering a path to help. And joining us now, Multnomah County District Attorney Nathan Vasquez, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
We'll dive right into a lot of topics, but first I want to start with the big change this week, the deflection program. So you said that this change isn't about abandoning treatment. It's really about accountability. Can you walk us through what wasn't working and why you wanted to make this change now?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a program that came out of, you know, Oregon's response to, you know, really the failings of Measure 110. We saw lots of problems. The state legislature came along and said, hey, we want to see a change. We want to see, they recriminalize drugs. But then what happened was they said, we're going to create all these off-ramps. They left it to the individual counties to come up with these deflection programs. Multnomah County, they built a program. Really, it was a little bit before I took office. And as that program progressed, we saw a lot of infrastructure being built. We saw, the program kind of come together. But unfortunately, we weren't seeing the results that we wanted to. In other words, what we're having is people were coming into the deflection center, but really they weren't being connected to treatment. They weren't engaging in treatment. A lot of them, in fact, were just touching the door and walking away. And so I think the community certainly came forward and they wanted more, and I want more. You know, really this comes down to just how can we do a better job of connecting people to treatment.
Has your office done anything different this week? It was just a few days ago that you made this change. Have you done anything differently?
Yes, and the change certainly took effect this week, but you know, this has been a process where we have been talking to some of the other partners and to the folks at the county that built the program and saying, hey, this is coming. And so as we're rolling this out, you know, we've met with them and we had a great meeting this week where we talked about kind of how they're going to integrate this into the program, because this is really designed to take what is existing, to augment it, to inject a little bit of accountability to make sure that people are actually engaging in treatment.
So one of your biggest frustrations that you've mentioned is this low engagement we're talking about. So I want to look at some of the county's numbers so we can show our viewers. In this first year, this was through August of last year, 520 people were referred to deflection by law enforcement, 392 people engaged in deflection, which is about 75%, but then only 113 people actually successfully completed that program, which was just over 20%. So what do you think is happening from this initial engagement of almost 75%, which is pretty good, to these later numbers?
Well, I think it's important to understand what the definition of engaged is. What that means is that someone literally just walked into the center and didn't immediately leave. When they engaged, they did a very basic assessment, and that's it. I don't believe that's really the spirit or what's behind this whole approach. The idea is to actually get people to treatment and to engage in treatment, not just sit down for a few hours, have an assessment, and then walk away. So that's really important to understand the context of this. I think when we look at then out of those people that engaged, how many then were considered success? Again, you have to look at, well, what is the county's definition of success? Well, it could be as simple as making a single phone call. And really, when we started to dig in and try to understand, okay, out of this whole program, what are we actually getting? It was, you could maybe count on one hand, maybe, the people that actually did any form of real treatment and got any type of real help. And so when we look at the millions of dollars invested and we get down to that end point with so very few people actually benefiting from this program, that's where the problem lies. And that's what's got to change.
How are you going to define the meaningful engagement exactly then? Like you said, a lot of these definitions were unclear or maybe needed changing.
Well, I'm someone that has always said there's a lot of different pathways to seeing people overcome substance use disorder or getting to sobriety. And so I'm not going to be overly prescriptive and say, oh, it has to be this one way. But it's taking real steps. It could be, did they go to group meetings? Did they enroll in a treatment program and actually, get into the program and start working in that program? Did they go through a detox process, what we call withdrawal management? Have they really taken some real steps and actually been able to demonstrate that they're taking this serious and working towards change?
So this week, the change was that if people don't meaningfully engage in the program, that they could face criminal charges. Why do you feel it's necessary to have these criminal charges as opposed to just looking at the program and changing the way that it's run?
Working in the criminal justice field for over two decades, one thing I have seen is that there are a lot of opportunities to help people. But if it were easy and simple, then we probably wouldn't be in this problem in the first place. So when we look at individuals that are struggling in this area, sometimes there is really a need for a push and a pull. Yes, you have to be helping by providing some of those services, but they need a little bit of a push to get them into those programs, to make sure that we're holding them accountable along the way and saying, are you following through? Are you doing the treatment? There's going to be setbacks and people may have relapses, and that's okay. The question is, are they continuing to engage and work through that process?
So critics of this may say that it sounds like we're adding criminal penalties back for people really who are struggling, who really need help, and that's just going to add to their, maybe list of charges that really isn't going to help them with the core issue. How do you respond to those people?
Well, it's a fundamental misunderstanding of the actual deflection system and how it all works, because what happens is even if we charge someone with a crime, it just means that they're going to go into this process that's called conditional discharge. So it's just another step along the way. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to go to jail. It means that the court is going to get involved and there's going to be a higher level of supervision, all designed towards how do we help that individual get into treatment. The end result of getting a conviction in jail, that's still a long ways down the road, and we are going to do everything we can along that journey to help get them into treatment. And so this is really, when you look at the law and the way it's structured, it's just another step in the process of trying to help people.
When you announced this plan back in November, there was some pushback from some of the Multnomah County leaders. How have you worked with the county since then, and where does that stand now?
Well, I think it's a lot about having conversations with folks. It's really working through and talking about what are our goals? What are we trying to accomplish? And then finding those shared goals. I believe that everyone has a shared goal of seeing this community get into a healthy, vibrant place. And so in doing that, we are working towards having folks come on board with the idea that we're still going to be doing everything we can to get people into treatment, connect them with treatment.
Do you feel like you have the county commissioner's support in this change that you've made this week?
Yes. I mean, this is one that as we go along, the decision about to charge or not charge, that's ultimately my role, my decision. But I want this to be a collaborative process when it comes to the whole system. And so, I've been working with the county commissioners, talking with them, and I have meetings in the weeks to come to continue these conversations.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your first year as district attorney. A lot has happened in this last year. You ran your campaign on taking a tougher approach to drug use and theft and on restoring order in Portland and Multnomah County. While you weren't new to the DA's office, how has leading the office changed your perspective?
Well, I can say it's certainly been an amazing experience. The men and women that work for the Multnomah County DA's office just do an incredible job. They are very dedicated public servants. And so it's been a true honor to do this job. It's also been, of course, there's lots of challenges, but I've really seen just tremendous opportunity for progress and growth within not just public safety, but throughout our community. And we've had some really, I think, some fantastic successes, and we've seen some really good changes overall in the community. Do we have a lot of work to do? Absolutely. But we're seeing good change.
How do you feel like you've been humbled in this first year?
The budget process is always a tough one. And when we're talking about limited resource, that's difficult. I mean, I'm one that I certainly believe I can come up with endless good ideas of how we can improve and change, but it is always a question of resources and how do we get those resources. So that is certainly a process that it takes some learning. It takes a lot of work with community partners and with certainly the county commissioners.
One of your stated goals also when you were running for this seat was reducing organized theft. You've seen some progress with that over the last year. A few months ago, your office launched Multnomah County's Burglary Task Force. Why was that needed, and how's that gone so far?
Well, you know, it certainly was needed because what we were hearing from our businesses and from our community members on a daily basis is that they were struggling. You know, they were getting hit not one, two, but sometimes 10 to 15 times. And it wasn't just one or two businesses, it was hundreds of businesses. And there were a lot of apartments, homeowners that were really feeling like that was the system standing up for them. And this is, the response has been overwhelming and fantastic, both from law enforcement partners. Certainly the Portland Police Bureau has stepped up tremendously, but also Gresham, Multnomah County Sheriff's Office, the Port of Portland, and others have come to the table. And we hit the ground running. Immediately we started seeing successes. We launched several major indictments. Some of these rings that we were starting to dig into and break up, I mean, they included, you know, as many as 10 individuals hitting hundreds of businesses. So it has been, you know, I'll say I've been a little bit surprised at just how well it's gone and how much work there is out there. And I'm very, energized by what I'm seeing, the effort from my office, the effort from law enforcement partners, and the community response. They want this.
It does feel like since the pandemic, there have been a lot more of these small businesses that have been hit over and over, and the frustration that they've seen of what do I do with this? You know, even the city of Portland has provided funding to try to help them, but really it seemed like it has just been ongoing.
Yeah.
How do you see those people who are doing those thefts or those break-ins? Has it been more of organized groups? Has it been random? You know, how have you seen that play out?
Well, I mean, first I want to say is that I want these small business owners and groups to know that the community and the public safety system is here to help them. And we are here to support them and really promote economic vitality in this community. And when it comes to the individuals that are out there, yes, we're seeing them organize sometimes in twos and threes and sometimes as many as 10. And these groups, you know, they've done everything from done a lot of surveillance to using tools to break in, to ramming cars through businesses. And it's absolutely unacceptable. And I have been very clear with my message that we're coming after them. We are not going to be satisfied with just, you know, holding one or two accountable. We want to get as many as possible. And for many of them, it means they're going to go to prison.
What are your plans moving forward to continue this need? You said there was so much more of a need than you even anticipated.
Well, as we go forward in the next year, you know, I just was speaking with the Gresham Police Chief about this, and they're adding detectives. Others agencies are. I've gotten, inquiries from throughout the metro area. Certainly, I've had conversations with the Attorney General for Oregon about this. I see this program only growing, and the successes will keep rolling in because I believe that it's something that the community is really excited for, but also something that law enforcement's excited for. We want to help. We want to be involved.
Okay, thank you. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our conversation with Multnomah County District Attorney Nathan Vasquez continues, from Portland's camping ban to rebuilding trust and what success looks like in year two. Stay with us. And welcome back. We are continuing our conversation with Multnomah County District Attorney Nathan Vasquez. Thanks again for being with us today.
Of course.
Okay, let's dive right back into it. I want to talk about the city of Portland and the mayor, who recently restarted enforcement of the camping ban in the city a few months ago. This was after determining that the city had enough shelter beds available. How has your office been involved in this, and what are you seeing now that people are being cited or arrested?
Yeah. You know, we've been working with officers on a daily basis, and they've been out there really just, you know, working through this, you know, each and every day, trying to connect people with shelter. And so something that we're working on regularly, you know, very closely with officers.
How has that been? Have you seen arrests that you followed through with charges, or what has that looked like?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a whole range. Everything from we're seeing people being picked up on arrest warrants. We're seeing some new charges for people that are failing to register as a sex offender. We're seeing weapons being taken off the street. You know, it's been, they've been extremely active. effective. I've been surprised, actually, by the amount of weapons that have been taken off the streets. And we've seen just a tremendous amount of times where individuals are being connected to shelter. And that has also been really good to see.
We had the mayor on recently who is saying that most of the people who have been arrested had outstanding warrants for things, I think all of them actually, he said, unrelated to actually being homeless or camping. Since then, have you seen anyone who has been arrested or has been charged just for camping?
Yeah, I mean, there have been a few. I would say that, you know, really though, the primary goal and what we've been seeing is that officers are doing everything they can to get people to shelter. Oftentimes they're giving warnings, they're trying to do all they can to really direct people into shelter and into housing resources.
How do you feel it's been going so far?
So far I've been encouraged by what I've seen. You know, it is always a question of, are there enough resources? You know, can we do more? Would I like to see more and more connection of people to shelter? Absolutely. But it's one where we are continuing to see positive progress, and I'm hoping that we will see that in the next year as well.
Another issue that you've been vocal about that we actually spoke about last year on the show, right when you came to office, was the lack of public defenders. How do you feel that stands now in the county?
Well, I think, as you know, I don't call it a lack of public defenders. This is a defense crisis that they have created, and it's one that I have been vocal about. And sadly, they have failed again this year to make any meaningful efforts and steps to rectify this problem. What I found really surprising is that, you know, there just haven't been the questions asked of them that should be. You know, because oftentimes we hear the term a lack of public defenders. So I started asking questions. And I went to our Oregon Public Defense Commission, and I asked them, how many public defenders are there that are funded for Multnomah County? Now, my office has, for context, my office has 95 prosecutors, and we're able to get the work done. They're funded at 137 attorneys. So they have more than us by well over 40. So this is not an issue of not enough. It is an issue of management and how are they using those resources to provide what is desperately needed for this community, for the victims to see their cases prosecuted, for defendants who are in crisis that need to have those issues dealt with. And it is certainly something in the next year that I will be demanding more questions, more accountability on their part. And ultimately, while the rest of the state of Oregon has actually seen an improvement in the area, this is the one jurisdiction, maybe with the exception of Washington County, that has not seen improvement. And there's a common denominator here between Washington County and Multnomah County, and that is the public defense firms, the nonprofit ones. They're here both in Multnomah County and Washington County, and I believe they're driving the issue here.
The state oversees these, correct?
So the state has a public defense commission that oversees the money. Then they contract down to these firms. And so it's that contract and the question of, are they operating within the contract or not? And what I always point people back to is that before those contracts got changed, we didn't have a crisis. It was once those contracts got changed and how they operate under those contracts that has led us to this crisis. Despite the fact that our state legislature has done a tremendous amount of work here, they've really tried. They dumped in hundreds of millions of more dollars. They put in a lot of attention. They tried to restructure. We put in a new executive director. Those things have all been positive, but we have not seen the corresponding positive change here locally. And I do think, and I have said it before, and I would just change it slightly. I've said it's a work stoppage. It's actually a managed work stoppage. And it's one in which the local public defense nonprofit firms are the ones that are driving this. And that needs to change. And it's one where when we look across the state and we see that around the state there's been positive changes, but it isn't happening here, we need to ask harder questions.
It does seem like there's some accountability at the state level, though, who oversees the public defense system across the state. Have you worked with anyone at the state of Oregon to maybe help with this issue?
Yes. So this past year, both working directly at the state legislature, you know, myself and DA Kevin Barton, we went down and we pushed hard for different legislation, different budgetary issues, and we saw some of that come into play that's helped, you know, for a lot of the other jurisdictions, but sadly not for our two jurisdictions. Additionally, you know, I've been meeting with and talking with the executive director, Ken Sandrigan, and trying to work with him to really get these questions answered and to push for change, because I believe this is a vital issue for our community, for victims, and ultimately it's a vital issue for those people that are not represented, and they need representation. And at the end of the day, That's what I want. I just want them to be able to have an attorney so that their cases can be resolved and that this community can move forward.
Let's move on to something else that we talked about last year as well when you took office, public trust. So that includes trust in law enforcement and government, particularly among those communities that have historically felt marginalized or fearful, such as minority groups or immigrant communities. How have you felt that has gone this last year?
You know, I feel like that has been really one of the strongest points for my office, is that we have been out in the community, and I make it a point to, you know, really try to get out throughout the community, whether it's out far east into Gresham and Fairview, up to North Portland. It's meeting with various groups, and it's meeting them where they are. You know, I've been in churches and community centers, having tough conversations, going through, you know, just whether it's sitting down for lunch, dinner, whether it's a religious group, a minority group, you know, I'm here as a public servant to really talk with them and meet with them. And I would say that it's gone very well.
What else are you most proud of looking back on this first year?
You know, I certainly always will start with, I'm so proud of the men and women in my office that do amazing work every day. And we have seen changes across the office, but also in our connection with law enforcement. We've rebuilt that partnership. It has been a fantastic year. You know, and that's, I think it's really borne out by the numbers. We saw an additional 2,000 criminal cases referred to my office this year alone. And that is because of that partnership. We are working closely with them. The police are doing really the hard work every day, and it has been, building that partnership is something that I am very proud of to see, because I know that it bears out in results for this community.
Looking ahead, what are your big goals for your second year in office?
Well, I think the largest one is that, you know, as we go forward, yes, we're going to face some tough budgetary issues. And when we've seen our county commission invest in public safety, we've seen a lot of progress. When we've seen defunding of our public safety, we've seen backslides and problems. And this is an area where, you know, certainly when we come up to the budget this year, I know that my office needs additional funding. And certainly I know that there's gonna be a lot of discussions about, should we take a cut? And I know that with cuts, we'll become a backslide in public safety. So we really need to focus on investing in public safety to really continue the positive work we've made to continue on those gains, because I don't believe this community can afford to see a loss of public safety, and then really that would lead to all kinds of other damages in our economic vitality and other areas of our community.
First year in, you're really getting your feet under you. I mean, you weren't new to the DA's office, but you know, you're doing a lot of new things. So now in this second year, what is on your list that you're like, I really want to tackle this next? This is my new challenge to take on.
Certainly, I'm still looking at gun violence as a big issue. We've made a lot of progress. We've seen a reduction in homicides and overall gun violence, but I'm a believer that one homicide is too many, and I want to see that number get as low as possible. So that's a huge effort and a huge focus that you'll see next year. Getting deflection moving in the right direction, that is a key piece, because when we look at our streets and our city, we want to be able to live in a healthy community. We want the individuals that are struggling on the streets, we want to do everything we can to help them as well. So getting those folks into a system that's working, absolutely, I want to focus on that. And then the last kind of big drive is the economic vitality. And I ask myself, what can my office do? What can we do to help this community as we are looking at, you know, our businesses, and how do people feel safe coming into our downtown, into our community? And so we'll be focusing on those issues and really taking the successes of last year and magnifying and seeing hopefully more gains.
We have just about 30 seconds left, so I want to ask you, when you look back at the end of your second year, how will you measure your success?
Well, it will be some questions about, how did we do in the budget? Do we have the resources necessary to deliver public safety to this community? It will be, are we continuing on the trends of seeing a reduction in violent crime? Are we seeing that police confidence continues to grow, that community confidence continues to grow? And ultimately, what I always believe is really important is, do the people of Portland and Multnomah County, do they feel safe in their homes, in their parks, in coming to whether it's downtown Gresham, downtown Fairview, or into downtown Portland. I want people to feel safe and enjoy this community.
Dave Vasquez, thank you so much for being in today.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for joining us here on Straight Talk. An important programming note, Straight Talk will now air on Thursdays at 7 p.m. instead of Mondays. We look forward to you tuning in each week here for our new time. The show will continue to air on Saturdays and Sundays.